We're back for hour number two of the Now program today on this Wednesday, March the 2nd, 2018, 3718, 13 minutes past the hour. And we have one of my favorite guests on today. She's been a regular visitor, but we haven't had her on in quite a while. So it's great to have her on today, because tonight we will be covering the Democratic debate. We will be in Toledo, Ohio tonight covering the Democratic debate for governor. Starting at 4:30. Our coverage will start at 4:30, so to keep things even and keeled, it's great to have a candidate in the Republican primary for governor of Ohio, the current lieutenant governor of the state of Ohio, Mary Taylor, with us. Lieutenant Governor, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. How are you?
It's always good to talk with you, and I want to get right into it. I know you're very busy. Tonight at the Democratic debate, we all kind of feel that gun control is going to be a big topic. What's your stance on gun control?
So that's a great question, and I'm going to answer that. But isn't it wonderful the Democrats are having a debate? Because my opponent, Mike DeWine, refuses to have a debate. And to be able to answer these questions you're asking me, Scott, and, you know, doing that in front of an audience of voters. So I applaud everybody that's going to go to the debate, and the Democrats for being willing to put their candidates out there. So with regard to gun control, look, what happened recently in Florida is a tragedy. And, of course, my prayers go out to the families that are involved, those that lost loved ones, and the community, because it's obviously going to be a time before that community heals. But what I will say to you is, oftentimes people in politics, you see the media, everybody wants to focus on restricting the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding gun owners in some hope that that is going to stop these types of tragedies from happening in the future. And in fact, that's just not the case. What we really need to do is we need to focus on the root cause. We need to secure our buildings right now. Our school buildings, people know if you go into a school building, you are not going to encounter anyone who has a gun to be able to defend themselves, or the students or the staff or teachers or administrators inside that building. So we've got to secure our school buildings to keep our kids safe. And that could include arming teachers where they've had training, or letting local communities decide how they want to make sure their students are protected. We also have to keep the guns out of the hands of individuals who shouldn't have guns in the first place. And you look at, again, what happened in Florida, and from all accounts, it looks like we're dealing with a very broken individual. And there were lots of signs that this individual was troubled. And it looks like, again, there were failures, and for some reason, it just fell through the cracks. So taking away guns, or restricting the gun rights of law-abiding citizens in the state of Ohio or this country, it's not going to solve the problem.
An interesting thing you brought up there, there have not been any Republican primary debates scheduled between yourself and Attorney General DeWine. Since last you were on this program, you said if you're not the nominee, of course you plan to be, but if not, you would not support Mike DeWine. There still are no debates scheduled, as I say. Your running mate, Nathan Ezrith, was on the program a couple weeks ago, and he said if not the running mate, if that doesn't happen, he would support DeWine just because he didn't like the others. Also, the Republicans have endorsed Mike DeWine since last we spoke. Has your stance changed? Would you vote for Mike DeWine if, by chance, you don't end up being the nominee?
Well, so let's be clear. I'm going to be the Republican nominee, and I can tell you, as I've been traveling since we last talked, conservatives are starting to rally around our ticket. They're going to support Mary Taylor and Nathan Ezrith, and so we fully intend to be the nominee on May 8th. Things being what they are, I look at what are my choices if it's not Mary Taylor, and Mike DeWine's less liberal than Dennis Kucinich, so I probably would vote for him.
Because I do know that after that hullabaloo the last time you were on, that they said, I believe the DeWine campaign, and I'm paraphrasing here, said you showed yourself to be a Democrat or a liberal or something to that degree.
So I think when we start talking about who we are and what our conservative principles are, I think the best way to measure or gauge who an individual is, you look at our voting records. I voted against the tax increase and voted against my Republican Party in the legislature. I got kicked off of the Finance Committee because of that. I co-sponsored and supported and championed concealed carry in the legislature. I co-sponsored a bill to ban abortion in Ohio. Look at Mike DeWine's record when he was in the U.S. Senate. He earned an F from the NRA. He voted for the original DREAM Act, which provided amnesty for illegal immigrants. Plus, he also voted for a bill that paid college tuition for illegal immigrants. And he was one of the gang of 14 that stopped 10 of President Bush's most conservative judges. So I think really the best way to understand who somebody is to look at what their record is and look at where they stood when they were called upon to be a champion of an issue or of a cause that conservatives care about in Ohio. And the record's very clear. Mary Taylor is the conservative in this race, not Mike DeWine.
Don't want to stay too long on this, but I just want to, because when you said that, you said you would vote for Mike DeWine over Dennis Kucinich. We don't know if Kucinich will be the nominee. It could be Cordray or any of the other three. Would you vote for DeWine against any Democrat?
Based on who I see on their side right now, he's going to be less liberal than what their ticket their nominees and what do they have for that will be at the debate tonight, I think, is what I read. So assuming that it's one of the four that will be present at the debate this evening, Mike DeWine is probably less liberal than those four, and I would probably vote for him.
Two questions I want to get in the remaining 6 minutes we have here, and I think they're interesting questions. If you don't get the nomination, you have said that there was a lot of old boys network going on here, and the Republicans have already endorsed Mike DeWine. Would you ever run as an independent?
I don't anticipate that being the case this year, no. We're gonna take this campaign as we have been directly to the voters of the state of Ohio. I do fully expect that we're going to win because conservatives want to support a conservative, not just in the primary, but obviously that's how Republicans win in November. Conservatives are not going to support Mike DeWine, and he can't win against a Richard Cordray or a Dennis Kucinich. So we know the conservatives are going to rally around us, and we're going to be successful.
Just to clarify for our listeners out there, you will not go out and support Mike DeWine if he happens to be the nominee, but you would vote for him.
Oh, I'm not going to do the what would you do if and when, because that's a long time away, and we're putting a lot of assumptions in even asking that question. So I'm not going to answer a question that there's not like a real life set of facts to deal with. But I think we're going to be successful. I see the the things are shifting, the momentum is shifting towards the conservative ticket, which is Mary Taylor and Nathan Estruthan. And so I fully expect that that's going to be a better question to ask Mike DeWine than to ask Mary Taylor, because we're going to be the nominee.
With 4 minutes left, and that being said, there is a bit of an elephant in the room this morning. Governor Kasich yesterday gave his last State of the State, and you tweeted last night, huh. What did you mean?
Well, Governor Kasich promised that it was going to be an odd speech, and I think it certainly was an odd speech. And it, you know, I understand where he's coming from and wanting to make that kind of his last speech, but I would have preferred to be talking about the issues facing Ohio rather than his overall philosophies. And, you know, especially since that's what I've spent a lot of time doing over the course of the last year, and will spend nearly every waking moment of the next 60 days, you know, going directly to the voters and talking about the issues facing Ohio, and more important than what are the issues, but what are the solutions? How do we get to really giving every single Ohioan the opportunity to live their God-given potential? And coming into just, you know, leading up here to a primary, that's what Ohioans care about. That's what Ohioans want to know the answer to.
And I think one thing Ohioans want to know the answer to with 3 minutes left here, where we started, is gun control. It's a big issue. You told us what your stance was. The governor, Governor Kasich, rolled out what he thought the plan should be last week. What did you make of his plan? He remains the governor for a few more months.
So, what my hope is that we have a conversation in this state and in this country that it doesn't focus on restricting the rights of gun, law-abiding gun owners, and starts restricting our Second Amendment rights, but more focuses on what are the root causes of the problems. I think, unfortunately, too many of these important issues get caught in the debate of politics, and instead, you know, and that's what people focus on, instead of focusing on what is the root cause of these problems. And so, you know, again, as governor, that's what you could expect from me, is to be providing solutions to what I believe are the root causes, rather than trying to have the political conversation about restricting law-abiding gun owners' Second Amendment rights in Ohio, because that is, in fact, not going to solve the problem that we face. I don't see what solution, what outcome we get by restricting the rights of law-abiding gun owners, and I absolutely would not support doing that.
We're coming up on a hard break here in 90 seconds. I know you have to go, but you're always straightforward, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate when you come on, because I like that. And there is a question people ask all the time. When you say something like, huh, last night after his State of the State, and you say his endorsement, you know, doesn't mean a whole lot, you are the lieutenant governor. Why is there a chasm there between you and John Kasich? People don't seem to understand why that happened.
So I would say before I was lieutenant governor, I was Mary Taylor, and I'm still Mary Taylor, and I'm Mary Taylor, the conservative that voted against the Republican tax increase and got kicked off the finance committee. I'm Mary Taylor, the Republican, the only statewide candidate on the Republican side who won in 2006, and I'm Mary Taylor, the legislator who voted for the rights of law-abiding citizens to carry guns in Ohio, and I'm Mary Taylor, the state auditor, was deemed the watchdog of the Treasury. And so before I became lieutenant governor, that's who Mary Taylor is. And so what I'm really focused on is just reminding voters, reminding Ohioans of who the conservative Mary Taylor is, and then what is Mary Taylor's vision for the future, because they need to know what my record is so that they understand they can count on me to be a conservative, but they also need to understand what my plans are for the future of the state of Ohio.
And we timed it perfectly. Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, thank you as always for coming on, and I hope you come back.
Great. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Lieutenant Governor of Ohio Mary Taylor, say what you will, she always comes on, and she always gives interesting perspective. We've got about 35 minutes left in the program. Give me a ring here. That was very interesting. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, what did you make of what the lieutenant governor has to say? Now, tonight, to be fair, we will question the Democrats just as eagerly. But I do believe tonight gun control is going to be the topic, and we will be there starting at 4:30. We will go live. We'll have David Pepper, the Ohio Democratic chairman. Then we'll broadcast the debate in its entirety from 5 to 6:30 p.m., and then we will come back with Dennis Kucinich and Betty Sutton and whoever else happens to wander around. You never know who's going to show up tonight. A live debate, anything can happen, but our coverage starts at 4:30 p.m. You don't want to miss this. First time Dennis Kucinich and Rich Cordray have ever been on the stage together, and I do believe tonight is going to be gun control. Why are there no Republican debates? I don't know. Mary Taylor asked a good question there. I don't know why there are no Republican debates. Would give us something to cover. We'd enjoy it. Terry Tackett, of course, will be along for the coverage tonight. I hope he'll be able to join us here before the program wraps up today to discuss what's on tonight. So I hope if he's in the studio and in earshot, he'll be able to come in here and we can discuss tonight's big event, which I think is exactly going to be a big event. This is a very tight governor's race, I think. And it'll be very interesting. But we also have you on the toll-free line, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a ring if you have anything you'd like to talk about. We always like to talk about things going on with you and what your take is on things, rather than me just sitting here and talking for hours on end. So give me a call, 740-383-9944, and we can talk about whatever you want. About 30 minutes left in the program, and boy, times are interesting. This is what is fun about life. You wake up every day, and you never know what's to come, and you never know what's around the corner. Day to day, it changes. Everything changes. Do you think that Governor Kasich and Lieutenant Governor Taylor really get along? See, I don't know. Maybe they're friendly. I don't know. That relationship, though, you wonder. You wonder. I don't know. You know, it's I don't put anything past anybody at this point. I just don't know. But I am interested tonight to meet some of these people who we've only talked to over the telephone, like Dennis Kucinich, like Betty Sutton. Well, I don't think we've talked to Betty Sutton. Tonight we'll meet Betty Sutton and talk to Betty Sutton. Rich Cordray will be in the room. If we can get him, we'll get him. David Pepper, we've had him on. We've never met him in person. That should be a lot of fun tonight. The Democratic debate, live here on WWGH Radio, 5 to 6:30 p.m., but tune in at 4:30 because we will have the pre-game show, and that's exactly what it will be. David Pepper on at 4:30. Is there anything you would like me to ask David Pepper or Dennis Kucinich or Betty Sutton or anybody else who happens to wander over past us? Or is there anything you would like to ask me to ask Mary Taylor when and if she should come back on the program? 740-383-9944. What is important to you when it comes to Ohio? Because this is our state, this is going to be our governor, and that's going to be the way things trickle down as the days and weeks go along. 740-383-9944. Do want to remind you about this again. This is another big event coming up here. The League of Women Voters of Marion invites you to speed date your local leaders at the Marion Senior Center, Thursday, March the 15th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. You'll sit at tables. Each leader visits for 7 minutes at each table. You'll get a chance to ask them questions. I will be the moderator, host of that event, MC, whatever you want to call it. The leaders that will be there include City Police Chief Bill Collins, Common Pleas Drug Court Judge Jim Slagle, County Commissioner Ken Stiverson, County Sheriff Tim Bailey, Mayor Scott Schertzer, Downtown Marion's Clarissa Myers, Hitachi Robotics Rich Ramey, Intermodal Industries, Ted Graham, Marion Community Foundation's Dean Jacob, and Marion Matters' Heidi Jones. You know, I've never really been told, what does Marion Matters do? I know they do something good, but I'm not really familiar too much with the Marion Matters group. Somebody will have to fill me in on that. Or we'll have to have Heidi Jones on. Maybe when I meet her on the 15th, I'll invite her on the program to see what Marian Matters is doing around the community. Kind of get a better grasp on what's going on there. Telephone number 740-383-9944. 29 minutes left in the broadcast today. And there's nothing more we would like to do than hear from you. You, the people out there listening. 740-383-9944. I better check and make sure we have a dial tone. We do have a dial tone, so make that phone light up, and we'll discuss whatever is on your mind. And there's always something on your mind out there listening, especially hearing an interview like that with Mary Taylor. There's got to be something pondering. Did you like what she had to say? I'm curious about that. Did you like? Did you dislike it? We started the show today at 12 o'clock with a caller who wanted to talk about gun control. Did you like what Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor had to say about gun control? She certainly laid out her plan there. So we got to learn about that. So what do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call, and we will get you on the air today. Always interesting times. 31 minutes coming up on 32 minutes past the hour. And in the first hour, we were talking again about people who may have known Nan Britton or President Harding or Florence Harding or Carrie Phillips. Anybody out there know them or have heard any interesting facts about these people who were major figures in the history of Marion, Ohio in general? Would love to hear. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would love to know what you think. That is the ticket. It's all highly interesting. And the dog collar. Where is Laddie Boy's dog collar? Where has it gotten off to? Does anybody know the answer to that? I'd like to know the answer to that. I'm sure the Harding home would like to know the answer to that. Maybe it was a prank. I mean, a bad prank. But maybe it was a prank. Wouldn't you just like to see it turn back up? Show up on the Harding home's doorstep or something like that? I don't know. I just find it hard to believe that nobody knows anything about it. Because whoever did it had to know something about it, and I would imagine have talked to somebody. I just cannot imagine that one person took it, never said anything to anybody, and it just was a complete zero as far as that goes. I cannot imagine that that's the way that went down, which makes me think, where did this thing go? It's been going for 6 years now. That's a long time. 740-383-9944. WWGH Radio time, 1:34 p.m. We are fast approaching the time of the Democratic debate. Don't forget, coverage starts at 4:30 p.m. Now, here's something. Oh, good, we're getting a call. We'll discuss something here. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey.
How's it going?
Oh, doing well.
I can always tell you're groping when you start talking about Laddie Boy.
Well, that's my favorite.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, don't you think somebody knows where this thing is?
Oh, my! I don't care in the least.
Well, I know, but I think, you know, when kids used to go in there, they found that fascinating.
You know, I've never been there.
Yeah, well, I just know that I was told by, I've been there once, I was told by somebody that that is one of the things that the kids found most interesting. And I just find it strange that that's what somebody stole.
Yeah, I'm sure there are other things in there that would have made a little more sense. Than
well, the other thing that puzzles me about it is it's the second floor. This happened in 2012. The Harding home is on Mount Vernon Avenue. Somebody had to put a ladder on that building, climb up it, in the middle of the night, bust the window, know where the collar was, to grab it quick, go back down the ladder, put the ladder away, and drive away without anybody noticing it.
I think it's probably just a prank, or they thought it was a prank.
Yeah, I think, and I don't, because I don't believe you could have sold it. I don't think anybody melted it down.
Yeah.
I think it's just somewhere, and somebody doesn't want to say anything because they're afraid they'll go to the slammer or something.
Oh, what do you anticipate for tonight?
I think it's going to be an ugly debate. That's my opinion.
Yeah, particularly through Jedry and the guy from Cleveland.
Yeah, Kucinich and Cordray are really going to get into it because Kucinich has been hitting him hard on gun control.
Yeah.
And this is the first time they've been on stage together. And the primary is less than 2 months away. So this is his shot to really hit him.
You know, any politician always, he never does himself a favor if he, if he changes his mind.
Well, I think the problem is that...
Even when he does it for a good reason, it's always, you're wavering now, you know, you can't make your mind up.
Well, I think the problem is what... I know what Kucinich is going to hit Cordray with. It's the thing you've talked about. What is Cordray going to hit Kucinich with?
I don't know, unless he starts talking about ages and such. Because Kucinich is pretty old.
Same age as the president, I think.
Well, yeah, but... And that's still, older than you would like. I think people are going to eventually get to the point where they're not going to be paying much attention to the old-timers that have been there for 40 years in politics.
But isn't it interesting that he's about the same age as DeWine.
Yeah.
But it fascinates me that the person with the most liberal stance on gun control is the oldest person in the debate. It reminds me of the presidential election. The oldest person in the election had the most liberal stances, Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of seems to me like it reminds me very much of the presidential Democratic nomination process.
Well, Bernie was the closest thing to a true communist that we've had run, you know.
Well, I don't see Kucinich.
But I don't find that particularly bad.
You mean socialist?
No, I mean communist.
You mean communist?
Yeah.
I don't know that he wanted equal distribution of wealth.
He wants a better distribution than there exists today. That's for sure. And I consider that a reasonable thought.
Could be. I don't know. I find Bernie Sanders fascinating in that you would think these older people would not be so liberal.
You would think so, but Bernie, he came from a different crowd, you know.
Well, Kucinich has always been very liberal, being from the Cleveland area.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if Kucinich wins. I would not be surprised.
It would be like most other those debates. The winner is depends on the person that's deciding who won. In other words, it's if he's a guy that they like to go in with, they'll consider him the winner.
Well,
even though it would have to be pretty evident in everyone's mind if that's not the case.
Well, I'm not. I didn't mean the debate. It wouldn't surprise me if Kucinich won the nomination.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't shock me.
I don't know. Does he really have a big support from people other than Cleveland?
Well, the last poll I saw, they were not too far apart.
Yeah. Now, that's statewide, though, not just the Cleveland area. Because I know myself, I never thought much of him because to me he wasn't from any area that I was involved in, like a Columbus or Cincinnati, anything like that. So he was just a Cleveland guy, and I never followed Cleveland politics that much.
Well, I think one of the problems that Democrats have is that I don't think a lot of people know who Cordray is.
Yeah.
And I think most people know who Kucinich is, because if you watch Fox News, you would know him. If you have been in Ohio politics since the 1970s, you would know him. Mm-hmm. If you ever watched a presidential debate, you would know him.
I never remember him at all from the presidential runs.
He was in the, when Obama and Hillary were in the primary, he was in that one.
Oh, God, I didn't pay any attention to him.
Yep, he was there.
He was another one of the also runs.
Yeah, but he was on the stage. And I think that's what, it's fascinating because he's always been one of those guys out on the fringe.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I he's got nothing to lose. Let's put it that way. He's got nothing to lose getting up there today.
You still think there's something really going on, that thing with the trio that got together?
Oh, Ventura and Ron Paul. Yeah, because I think that they didn't get together for nothing.
Have you heard any more about that?
I haven't heard any more about it, but I think it's going to come subtly. I don't think anybody's going to say anything before the 2018 election. And after this election's over this year, you're going to see, you're pretty well going to know who's running for president, and I think that's the idea. And what I am interested in is Kucinich running for the governor of Ohio, because nobody would have thought that. People were thinking Jerry Springer. Kucinich came out of nowhere and is actually garnering votes.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two questions I want to ask Kucinich tonight, aside from what happens in the debate. I want to know what he remembers about that meeting, and I want to know, would he run as an independent if he doesn't get the nomination? Now, I think he did say he would support the Democratic nominee, but he's an independent kind of guy. Now, Mary Taylor says she wouldn't. I was shocked at that.
She wouldn't support the Democrats?
She wouldn't run as an independent.
Oh, okay.
Because I think she's getting pretty angry.
Yeah, she feels, she's been treated like a woman. That's what she probably feels like.
I don't know. I don't know what happened with the Republican Party. I just don't know why they won't have any debates, and I don't know why they would not, why they would endorse before the primary.
Yeah, well, I think DeWine thinks he's got it wrapped up.
Well, I think they've done him a disservice because first time he gets up there, he's either going to be up there with a Jeopardy champion, or he's going to be up there with a guy who's debated President Obama and Hillary. I think DeWine's going to have a rough way to go.
If he decides to actually join it, he might do the same thing here. He might figure it'd be to his advantage not to.
Yeah, but I think if you do that in the main, I think they will take you to task. I think newspapers would take him to task.
Yeah, well, they don't run the country, though.
No, but in a state election, it's a little different. If a state election latches on to something, people don't know a whole lot about the state candidates. They're not hearing about them on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC.
I watched a small little bit of the Tonight Show. And Oprah's on there saying, well, I don't know,
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, well, you think we would have learned our lesson?
No, we don't learn
now,
very well.
Now, she does have some decent ideas and some credibilities, but I don't know. And unless she gets us all a free car, I don't think I would vote for her.
I tell you, the Oprah Winfrey politics is exactly because of what happened last time. And I think that's going to be there for a long time. I think that thought, because there used to be an idea that even if you didn't like the person, that if they had some experience, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. That you wouldn't put somebody in who had zero. But we don't believe that anymore. So, let her run. You know, at this point, it doesn't matter. People live in their own world. People don't want to hear what they don't want to hear. People hear what they want to hear. And you can't... I don't quite understand it. I wish people would just talk. But that last presidential election showed me that every presidential election from here on out is going to be a circus. Because one person tried, for better or worse, not to name call, and one person name called more than anybody ever had. And look who won.
Yep.
So now you're going to have that. You're going to have that kind of thing.
You know, the one who shouts the loudest will probably end up winning, and that's pitiful.
Well, you know, like I said in the last election, I was very impressed. And again, this is not anti-Trump, so I don't want people to take it that way. But I was impressed at the time by the people like John McCain, like Governor Kasich, like Mitt Romney, who were strong, like President H.W. Bush, like W. Bush, who either said they were going to vote for Hillary or they were going to vote, just write a name in, because they didn't feel this man represented their party. I thought that was very tough for these high-profile Republicans to say that, but they did.
Yeah, because Trump was never a Republican, not really.
Yeah, but it was
he was simply a, you know.
But the Republicans put him in office. And that, I don't... It was funny because the hierarchy of the party, it wasn't the... I don't think there was a former president, Republican or Democrat, that endorsed him. Not a one.
No.
So it wasn't... But it was the people. It was the Republican people. And again, that protest vote, which favored him more than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And that was a... that's where I really had to admire George H.W. Bush, because he said he was voting for Hillary. And I thought, if there's anybody on the planet who should not like Hillary Clinton, it's George H.W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't take the... He didn't do the line of, I'm going to write somebody in. He said, I'm voting for her. And I thought that's gutsy because, like I say, if anybody should have hated Bill Clinton, if anybody should have disliked Hillary, it's him.
Yeah.
But he did. And his wife. You know? I don't know. That's what I couldn't figure. All these people who admired the Bushes and admired the Reagans and admired, they all came out against Trump, and it didn't matter at all.
Well, Trump, he didn't meet any of their standards.
Met somebody's standards.
You know, like I say, he thinks it's, you know, you're really doing something. You get up there and basically act like an idiot.
Yeah, but people were okay with that.
Of course, I don't think he was acting.
Yeah, but people were okay with that.
Not very many of them.
Well, millions.
Enough to win, but... And I don't know. I hope we don't. I hope we're smart enough as a country not to have nonsense like that happen again.
To me, I believe whoever ran against him, I know this is an unpopular thing to say, but I believe had Bernie got the nomination, I believe had Joe Biden ran, you know, in hindsight, we say, they would have beat Trump. I don't think they would have. I think he people forget. They just talk about Hillary and they go protest vote and all that. 18 Republicans, 18 of every shape, size, color.
I mean, even gender.
Gender. They had Bushes. They had Rubios. They had Cruises. They had Fiorina. They had Ben Carson. They had all these people. And he beat them all. So I really don't think Biden or Bernie would have beat him. But yep. That tells you something about the country.
I don't know if a lot of it was basically saying we don't want anybody like Obama in there again or what. But I think
that was it. I don't really, to be honest with you, I find it hard to believe that... I don't know. I think it was more of a distaste of Obama. Obamacare was the biggest chant. The wall was number two, but boy, every rally, we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. I don't know what he was attacking Hillary over. Not really a whole lot. He was more hitting Obama.
Yep.
So
this is your chance to fix what happened with Obama.
I'll tell you something that I did hear recently. This guy who's been on the, he's going to be subpoenaed. This guy who's going on all the television programs talking about Russia and so on and so forth. Roger Stone's buddy. We were starting to hear more and more about machine tampering. Mm-hmm. And I read an article the other day about it wouldn't have happened machine to machine. It would have happened when the vote counts were sent in to the state. Because they said nobody hand delivers those to the state.
You say they do not?
Yeah, they don't. Now, people have paper ballots on the level, but when you send those vote totals into the state, that's how they get them so fast.
Yeah, I actually think that was more of a... I don't think the ballots themselves had anything to do with it. This is my feeling on it. I think what it was that people got in. I think the internet's what caused the whole daggone thing.
What did?
Frankly, because that allowed the the trolls to get in there and perform their magic. And it wasn't a matter that. People actually believe the nonsense that they read in there.
They did.
And most of it was pretty silly.
You know, not to them, though.
It says something for about the intelligence and the overall ability to see through lies and gossips and all the other nonsense that goes with the internet.
Well, that may be, but I can't, I don't know. I just think it's awful that the election didn't just play out like it was supposed to. Like two candidates doing what they need to do, and let's see who wins. Mm-hmm. I hate now that's always going to be, I think by everybody's account, a screwed up election.
But it would have been a screwed up if the trolls weren't weren't Russians.
If they were who, like
who would have been anybody?
If right.
Been
well, yeah. But what I think is, we talked about this on Friday. What I cannot figure out, and the question gets more and more confusing by the day, is. Why did they favor Trump, even if he didn't know about it? Why did they favor him? Why will he not sanction them? And why, when Putin last week basically said he was the superpower and showed a missile blowing up Florida, why did Trump say nothing?
I think Putin's thing there had to do with Trump's call for the parade.
Oh, right, but why?
Which basically just was exactly the same thing that, you know, the people in the past, you know, really hardline bad people did. You know, that's not an American thing there to have a big parade.
No, but
particularly once with all the...
Right, but why doesn't the man who pops off at everybody, why doesn't he pop off at Putin?
I don't know. I think he admires Putin.
It's the only person he admires?
I don't know.
He hits everybody else.
Maybe he's afraid of Putin. Maybe Putin has something on him. You know?
Well,
it's hard to say.
And if that's the case, then we got bigger problems.
Yeah.
And that's bad for all of us. But I thank you for calling in, as always.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So next time I hear you talking about the dog, I'll...
The dog is always a good
tip-off. I know what's up.
Thanks.
Sure.
That's right, Lottie Boy Scholar. Well, we do have about 4 minutes left, and I do want to remind everybody that, 4:30, we're going to be back on the air today from the Democratic Debate. Boy, it's going to be a lot of fun, and then we're going to carry that live Democratic Debate. 4:30, we'll be on with Democratic Chairman in Ohio, David Pepper, 4:30 to 5, Terry Tackett and I. And then 5 to 6:30, right here on the station, we will carry the debate live. You won't want to miss that. And then from 6:30 until whenever we go off the air, we'll have Dennis Kucinich, Betty Sutton, and a lot of other people who might just be wandering around. This event is supported by the Committee to Elect Tara Dyer, County Commissioner. Don't forget that. We have about 3 minutes left, so if you want to call in, 740-383-9944, or if you want to hear me talk about the dog collar for 3 minutes, give me a call, 740-383-9944. Or I can talk about the collar or anything else. But I'll tell you, I am genuinely interested in the Eber Baker thing because I don't think he's been moved. Now, is that a big deal? No. But I think people are still parking on him or whatever they do over there on Quarry Street now. I don't understand that. I don't understand that one little bit. Now, don't forget, we will be back on... Oh, the one thing I wanted to mention early on that I never got to, the Heaven Express program that I guested on this past Sunday will not repeat tonight at its normal time at 5:10. It will repeat tomorrow, Thursday, at 5:10. So keep note of that. The Heaven Express with Paul and Glenna Savage, great program. I was the guest this past Sunday. Will not repeat tonight at 5:10. It will repeat Thursday night at 5:10. So 1 week only, it'll repeat Thursday night at 5:10. Then they'll be back next Sunday with a new episode at 5:10. And the Theology Guys, which normally repeats tonight at 6:15, because of the coverage, will repeat tomorrow night at 6:15. So don't forget those very important things. Due to our coverage of the Democratic governor's primary election, debate. I hope I can talk better by that point. See, 2 hours of talking, you sprain your tongue. You run out of things to say. But we're approaching the last minute now, so this is your last shot to say anything. Don't forget, get that radio on, 4:30, 2.5 hours from now. Don't go far. Terry Tackett and I will be on the spot. Woo! It'll be like ground zero for politics here in Ohio at 4:30 tonight. You won't want to miss it for love nor money. So please stay with us here on WWGH Radio. We want to thank everybody who called into the program. Always, the Lieutenant Govery Taylor. Thank her so much for calling in and sharing her time with us. And Charlie Evers for being on this morning. Remember, keep your radio tuned here. In just 2.5 hours, we'll be back up on the air and we'll be in another city in Ohio. But for this hour, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to